Well, folks, this Thursday is a big event for many of us, isn't it? That day we're all looking forward to when we get together with our family and friends, get together with relatives that we only see once a year, and after they go home, realize why we see them only once a year. We gather for that Thanksgiving dinner, and I'm sure we'll all have a wonderful time, but wanted to share with you this morning here one person's reflections about this. I'm sure some of us can relate to this. She says, "Martha Stewart will not be dining with us this Thanksgiving. Since Miss Stewart won't be coming, I've made a few small changes. Our sidewalk will not be lined with homemade paper bag luminaries. After a trial run, it was decided that no matter how cleverly done, rows of flaming lunch sacks do not have the desired welcoming effect. Once inside, our guests will note that the entry hall is not decorated with the swags of Indian corn and fall foliage I had planned to make. Instead, I've gotten the kids involved in the decorating by having them track in colorful autumn leaves from the front yard. The mud was their idea. It says the dining table will not be covered with expensive linens, fancy china, or crystal goblets. If possible, we will use dishes that match, and everyone will get a fork. Since this is Thanksgiving, we will refrain from using the plastic Peter Rabbit plate and the Santa napkins from last Christmas. Our centerpiece will not be the tower of fresh fruit and flowers that I promised. Instead, we will be displaying a hedgehog-like decoration handcrafted from the finest construction paper. The artist assures me it is a turkey. We will be dining fashionably late. The children will entertain you while you wait, and I'm sure they will be happy to share every choice comment I have made regarding Thanksgiving, pilgrims, and the turkey hotline. Please remember that most of these comments were made at 5 a.m. upon discovering that the turkey was still hard enough to cut diamonds. As accompaniment to the children's recital, I will play a recording of tribal drumming. If the children should mention that I don't own a recording of tribal drumming, or that tribal drumming sounds suspiciously like a frozen turkey in a clothes dryer, ignore them. They are lying. We've also decided against a formal seating arrangement. When the smoke alarm sounds, please gather around the table and sit where you like. In the spirit of harmony, we will ask the children to sit at a separate table, in a separate room, next door. Before I forget, there is one last change. Instead of offering a choice between 12 different scrumptious desserts, we will be serving the traditional pumpkin pie, garnished with whipped cream and small fingerprints. You will still have a choice. Take it or leave it. Martha Stewart will not be dining with us this Thanksgiving. She probably won't come next year either, and I am thankful. Well, folks, this Thursday is an important day, a day of giving thanks, a day for expressing gratitude, of being grateful. And this concept of gratitude and being grateful is at the heart of our message here today, that as believers in Jesus, our hearts should be hearts filled with gratitude. Are we a grateful people? Here's one dictionary definition of the word grateful. It means to be warmly or deeply appreciative of kindness or benefits received. Warmly or deeply appreciative of kindness or benefits received. Why do I say that? Because we throw that word thankful out all the time, gratitude out. We really mean. We're getting at it. And I'm here to say that I believe that our hearts, if we have truly grateful hearts, hearts that are deeply aware of and appreciative of kindness, the kindness of God and what God has done for us, the kindness of others, what others do for us, it will transform our lives, transform our relationship, transform our worship then, transform everything about us. The outward flow of gratitude, our scripture passage, Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. What I want us to all understand today, in today's message, it is simply this, that a grateful heart, a truly grateful heart, transforms relationships, it transforms our worship, and it transforms our very character. looking at this scripture passage from the book of Colossians, what is Paul saying to us here? Well, in this chapter, he's saying that if we are followers of Jesus Christ, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we need to set our hearts and our minds on heavenly things, not to be preoccupied, caught up with the things of this life and the things of this world, the cares of this life, but rather to set our hearts and set our minds on the things above, heavenly things, to orient our lives toward the values and the purposes of heaven, God's purposes for us. As a result of that, then we should put off those old sinful attitudes, habits, practices. The picture here is of like a fresh set of clothing, that we're to take off this old, dirty clothing, take that off, get rid of it, and put on fresh, clean clothes of God's righteousness, of Christ-like attitudes, practices, behaviors. As we read the text here, I'd like you to notice here, in just these three verses, I'd like you to notice how many times the concept of thanksgiving appears in these three verses. It's easy to just read right over it and miss it. But watch carefully, listen carefully, see how many times the concept of thanksgiving appears. And then I would also like you then to notice something else as we're reading our text. And that is, like you notice what I call the outward flow of gratitude in these verses. You know, oftentimes we think of gratitude, having a grateful heart, we tend to think of it as something as an internal quality. That's something that I experience, that I feel inside, and perhaps that's expressed then in my relationship with God. But I'd like you to note the direct tie here between the grateful heart and those relationships and those people, those things outside of us. How it affects, how it impacts those outside of us. The giving of thanks and the transforming power, I believe, of gratitude in our hearts. Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." How many times did you see thankfulness or gratitude in those three verses? Three times, right? Each verse. You notice the connection or the tie there, that it is certainly, it's an inner quality, an inner trait, that spirit, that heart of gratitude. But look at how it's tied with our relationships with one another, our relationships in the church. Look at how it's tied then, you know, not only in being at peace with one another, but teaching and admonishing one another, coming out of a grateful heart. Notice then the connection with worship, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, transforming our worship, and then transforming our very lives, all that we are, all that we have, whatever you do in word or deed, that speaks to our character, doesn't it? All that we are, all that we have, whatever we say, whatever we do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So the thankful heart, then, I want to suggest this morning, I suggest three principles about the thankful heart, three truths about the thankful heart. First is this, is that the thankful heart is ruled by the peace of Christ. The thankful heart is ruled by the peace of Christ. You know, because we have new life in Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus, the Scripture says that you have peace with God. God has called us then to put off those old filthy clothes of sinful attitudes and practices and put on those new, fresh, clean clothes of Christ-like attitudes and practices. And here we're told specifically to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. We have peace with God, and we have the peace of God. Peace with God. We're no longer at war with God. You are no longer at war with Him. You are no longer His enemy. The God is on your side. Almighty God is on your side for now and eternity. You have peace with God through Jesus Christ. But also you can know the peace of God in your heart and in your mind. What is that? What is the peace of God? Well, I like to think of it as an eternal tranquility, an attitude of rest or security, knowing that all is in God's powerful, sovereign hands. We can't control everything that happens to us, can we? We can't. We have a hard enough time trying to control what's going on inside of us, let alone trying to control what's going on in other people or the world, right? We can't control everything. But God is the Almighty, the sovereign Lord of the universe. And having the peace of God is this tranquility, this rest, this security for our hearts and souls that comes in knowing that we are in the hands of Almighty God. God is controlling all things. We've seen how this story ends. The Lord Jesus and His church is victorious. We have hope. And so we can have the peace of God no matter what the situation. So Scripture then tells us here to let your heart be ruled by the peace of Christ. I think that word translated rule here, literally it means to arbitrate or to decide. The picture is almost like an umpire that's making the call, that close call. I've seen many a times when that umpire has made the call going against my Cubs, okay? But the peace of Christ is to make the call, to decide, to arbitrate in our hearts over the various concerns and issues, contentions, problems that come up within our own life, but also even within the church. Is that hard to believe? Do you find that hard to believe that sometimes issues and problems come up within the church, within people's relationships? I know that's a stunner for some of us here, right? But it's true, isn't it? And Scripture says, let the peace of Christ be the judge, be the rule, decide, arbitrate the matter. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, to be at peace with one another in a harmonious relationship. So the peace of God then should rule in our hearts when we're tempted toward worry and anxiety. But it also then should be the rule in our hearts and be our uppermost concern. The peace of God, the peace of Christ in our hearts, and the peace of Christ among us as brothers and sisters in Christ called to one body. The peace of God should rule and be the uppermost concern when we're dealing with a problem situation, with every contentious situation then in our relationships, especially within the church. So I think then gratitude, this spirit of the grateful heart, contributes then to our ability to know and enjoy the peace of God, to know the spiritual tranquility. Whereas grumbling and worry and contentiousness, all that it does is make for inner agitation of our hearts. Inner agitation and its cousin then, outward conflicts. Where does that come from? I think a lot of times when we are having difficulties with others, we have to stop and look at our own hearts and say, do I have the peace of Christ in my heart? Is the peace of Christ ruling, arbitrating, deciding this matter? Is that my first and foremost, my uppermost concern in this relationship with my brother, my sister, is to maintain, to preserve, to keep the peace of Christ? So when we're grateful, remember we said that grateful is to be warmly and deeply appreciative of kindness or benefits received. Can you think of any of kindness that you've received from God? Can you think of any benefits that you have received from God? Can you think of kindness or benefits that you have received from others, from other people? Grateful, gratitude is being warmly and deeply appreciative of that. I want you to imagine then, if that is the heart that you have, a heart of truly being warmly and deeply appreciative of all that God has done for you, of all that others are and do for us, if that's in our hearts, folks, I think it's awfully difficult for us then, if we have truly grateful hearts, it's awfully difficult then to be agitated within, isn't it? It's awfully difficult to be worried and anxious and upset if our hearts are filled with gratitude. We only have room for so much in our hearts, don't we? And we can't have gratitude and agitation at the same time. You know, they tend to push one or the other out of there. When our hearts are filled with gratitude, it pushes that agitation, that worry, that contentiousness out of there. And it's hard then for us to be agitated within and at war with one another without. If our hearts are truly filled with deep appreciation for all that God has done for us, all that He continues to do for us, and all that He will do for us. Think about that moment. Just what has God done for you? What has He promised to you? Do we really then need to be anxious? Do we really need to fight with one another then? So I think then the thankful heart is ruled by the peace of Christ. The thankful heart then is also then richly indwelt by the word of Christ. It's richly indwelt by the word of Christ. I've gone ahead of myself here somewhere. Have I gone somewhere? The joys of technology. Okay. You know what? You're getting ahead of myself, so you're going to get to see where we're going here. See, what a great privilege this is this morning, isn't it? So there it is. The thankful heart, then, is ruled by the peace of Christ. I want you to know that even though there is this moment of anxiety and tension there, my heart is still ruled by the peace of Christ. Even though we've had a little technological snafu of some kind there. So the thankful heart is ruled by the peace of Christ. It is also then richly indwelt by the word of Christ. What is God's word? The word of Christ. It's His instruction, His principles, His promises, His commandments to us. That these are to literally take up residence in our hearts. Is the word of God, is the word of Christ at home in your heart, in your life? Does it make its residence, its home there? Does it dwell in you richly, that is abundantly and extravagantly so? By study and meditation and application of the word then, it becomes a permanent and constant companion. Scripture should permeate every aspect of our lives. It should control every thought, every word, and every deed. This idea then goes along with the idea of being filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit-filled life is a life that is controlled by the Word of God, by the Word of Christ. So Christ's words, God's Word, should become a part of our very natures, and it should spring forth naturally from us daily, in every situation, in worship, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and our hearts should spontaneously erupt in praise to God. And through this Spirit-filled kind of life, we can teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. To teach is to instruct, to show from God's Word, to admonish, to counsel, to correct. We all need teaching, don't we? Instruction. We all need to learn more about what God's Word says. But we also, though, we all need admonishment as well, though, too. We need correction. We need to be set right as well, don't we? And we should do that for one another out of grateful hearts. Grateful for what God has done for us. And we should do it with all wisdom, full of grace and tactfulness. You know, I think there are sometimes, folks, and I must confess, I think I've probably been guilty of this at myself at times. But sometimes where you can be so eager to admonish or correct someone that it comes out of a wrong heart, isn't it? There's a right way and a wrong way. We may be saying the right things, but it's not coming from the right heart or the right attitude. It's not coming with all wisdom, with gentleness and tact. It's not coming from a heart that is filled with gratitude to God and with the love of God. So we must correct and admonish one another from a thankful heart, filled with God's love, filled with God's love for that person. So the outward flow of gratitude, when our hearts are filled with warm and deep appreciation for all that God has done, His Word will indeed be at home in our hearts, won't it? We will spontaneously erupt in praise and worship, and we'll delight in teaching and admonishing one another in all gentleness and wisdom and tactfulness. Finally, then, too, the thankful heart, then, it's ruled by the peace of Christ. It's richly indwelt by the Word of Christ. But it also, then, is determined to do all in the name of Christ. Determined to do all in the name of Christ. Whatever we do in word or deed, by lip or by life, what we say, what we do, everything we must do in the name of Jesus and with a thankful spirit. What does it mean to do something in the name of Jesus? In His name? Well, it means to do it according to His will and for His glory. Is your life, is my life oriented toward bringing God glory through imitating the Lord Jesus Christ, doing what Christ would have us to do, being like Jesus, doing it in His name, through His power, through His authority, according to His will and for His glory? Everything we do should line up with the will of God for us in Christ Jesus and for His glory. Not for ourselves, but for God and for His glory. Doing it in His name is to act consistently with who Christ is and what He wants in our lives. So to be grateful then, this outward flow of gratitude, when our hearts are filled with warm and deep appreciation of all that God has done for us, all that God is doing for us, and all that He will, then our character will be transformed. What we are in word and deed. We will want to do everything in word and deed according to Christ's will and for His glory. So a grateful heart then, a grateful heart, it transforms our relationships with one another. It transforms our worship and it transforms our character. I wonder this morning, do you have a grateful heart? We say it means to be grateful, warmly, deeply appreciative of kindness or benefits received. Are you aware? Are you consciously, daily aware of what God has done for you in Christ? And are you appreciative of that? You know, I think that's one of the challenges of living in this society, especially, I mean, this can happen anywhere in any society, but it seems amazing to me, and I've been guilty of this too, that here we live in perhaps the richest society in the history of the world. We've been given more than other people, most people throughout the history of the world could even dream of, and yet how many of us are so unhappy and unsatisfied? Because we're not grateful. I'm not grateful for that. Sometimes the more stuff we get, the less grateful we are. I mean, some of you probably have experienced that before at Christmas with the kids. You buy all the toys, you get everything they want, and then it's always, yeah, we didn't get this, we didn't get that. Sometimes we can be that way with God, isn't it? Forget about everything God has done for us and say, yeah, but there was this or there was that. So you have a grateful heart that truly recognizes and is deeply appreciative of what God has done for you. Not only grateful to God for what He has done, but what about other people in your life? People that God has put in us. You know, it's hard, folks. It's hard for us to fight with one another, to be at war with one another, if we truly are grateful for them, isn't it? We're committed to the peace of Christ and all. So do you have a grateful heart? Are you committed to peace in the church then? I think a grateful heart truly will transform our relationships with one another. I think it's hard to fight with one another if we really appreciate all that God has done for us and we really appreciate that other person in the Lord. Does God's word then live in your heart? Are you richly indwelled by the word of Christ? Does Scripture spring forth naturally from your mind? You're facing a difficult situation or problem. Do the Scripture spring forth naturally in dealing with that? Are you quick to obey what it says? Finally then, is your life all about the will and the glory of God? Is your life all about the will and the glory of God? Doing what Jesus would have you to do, being the person Jesus would have you to be. A grateful heart transforms relationships. It transforms our worship. And it transforms our character. Let's pray. Father, again, we confess that we are too quick to forget about the kindness and the benefits that we've received in the Lord Jesus. We're too quick to focus on the things that we don't have or the things that we wish were different. God, forgive us for this spirit of ingratitude. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit that you would daily remind us what we have in Jesus. That through your Spirit indwelling and filling us, Lord, with His power and His love, that you would transform our minds, transform our hearts, that we would be a grateful people who spontaneously erupt in praise and thanksgiving to you, spontaneously erupt in love and generosity toward one another. God, it's hard for us to be at war within and at war with one another when our hearts are filled with deep and warm appreciation for all that you've done for us in Jesus and all that you've promised us in Him. So God, may we be a grateful people who honor you by word and deed in all that we do. Lord, may we be a people, may we be a church that does all in the name of Jesus Christ, according to His will, for His glory. In His name we pray. Amen.